Will you please turn to Leviticus? Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23, we begin with verse 6 through verse 8. And on the 15th day of this month is the feast of unleavened bread to Jehovah. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. On the first day ye shall have a holy convocation. No manner of servile work shall he do. And ye shall present to Jehovah an offering by fire. 7 days, and on the seventh day is a holy convocation. No manner of servile work shall ye do. And then we go back to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. We read from verse 15. Verse 20. Exodus chapter 12, verse 15. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. On the very first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. And on the first day ye shall have a holy convocation. And on the seventh day a holy convocation. No manner of work shall be done on them, save what is eaten by every person. That only shall be done by you. And ye shall keep the feast of unleavened bread. For in the same day have I brought your hosts out of the land of Egypt, and ye shall keep this day in your generations as an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, in the evening, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month in the evening. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses, for whoever eateth what is leavened, that soul shall be cut off from the assembly of Israel. Whether he be a sojourner or born in the land, ye shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwellings, shall ye eat unleavened bread. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Verse 6 through verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6. Your boasting is not good. Do ye not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, according as ye are unleavened. For also our Passover Christ has been sacrificed, so that let us celebrate the feast, not with old leaven, nor with leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Let's have a further word of prayer. Dear Lord, as we continue in thy presence, we pray that thou will speak to us. We have read thy word, and now we trust thy Holy Spirit to quicken thy word to our hearts. Lord, we believe that thy word is life and spirit. Thy word is light and power. So we just trust thee, trust thy word, and trust thy spirit to do the work that is necessary in us this day. We commit this time entirely into thy hands. In thy precious name we ask. Amen. Lately the Lord has exercised my heart on this matter of the set feasts of Jehovah. You know, it is recorded in Leviticus chapter 23 that God commanded the children of Israel to keep seven feasts during the year. And these seven feasts of the Lord tells us of the whole story of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It shows us God's work among his people, whether with the children of Israel in the past or with the church of God today. So far as the children of Israel are concerned, they are commanded to keep these seven set feasts of Jehovah through the years. And to them we find the fulfillment is more on a physical level. But so far as the church of God is concerned, we being the spiritual people of God, you find the fulfillment is more in the spiritual realm. Yet, the same principles apply both to the children of Israel and to us today. Now, these are called the feasts of Jehovah. In other words, God himself provides us with these feasts. That is to say, these are the works of God. And God has done his work. And now he commands his people to celebrate the feast. So during the feast, you find the children of Israel, they were gathered together and celebrate them. They were offer sacrifices to God. And they will have holy convocations because it is a time not only to worship God, but also to fellowship with one another. So these feasts are corporate functions. They are not just kept by individuals, by each family, but you find the whole children of Israel. They keep these feasts together. So, brothers and sisters, we feel that in these feasts, God wants to teach us something very important. The first feast, of course, is the Passover. Because God makes Passover as the beginning of the year. It is the beginning of the religious year of the Jewish people. And spiritually, we know Passover is the beginning of our spiritual life, the beginning of the life of the church. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, that our Passover, Christ, has been sacrificed. Now you remember the children of Israel, God used Passover to deliver them out of Egypt unto himself. And on that night, every family will prepare a lamb, and the lamb will be slain, and the blood will be sprinkled on the doorposts, and the children of Israel as families, they will gather within the houses, and they will eat the lamb with unleavened bread. And they prepare themselves for the journey out of Egypt into the promised land. Now that was the Passover. And the children of Israel, they were commanded to keep that feast every year. And even today, with the Jewish people, you'll find Passover is being kept very carefully every year. But so far as we are concerned, we know when Christ came, the shadows passed away. So we are now in the reality of the Passover. In other words, you'll find when our Lord Jesus had his Passover feast with his disciples, that was the last Passover. Why? Because the Lamb of God was going to be offered as a sacrifice. And by his death on the cross, we are delivered from judgment, from sin, from death, from the world, from ourselves, from everything that is of the old. And so our Passover is Christ Jesus. He has already died for us. So today we do not keep Passover as the Jewish people do. But instead, we find we have the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper. Because the breaking of bread, the Lord's Supper, is a celebration. It celebrates the death of our Lord Jesus. To us, he has already died. To us, the work is already done. So there is no need to offer a lamb anymore, because the Lamb of God has been slain. It is already done. So we come together just to remember what he has done for us. He said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. This is my blood. This is the new covenant. Seal my blood. Do this in remembrance of me." So in the Lord's table, when we come together, it is the reality of what the Passover to the Jewish people means. Christ has already done the work for us, and we come to celebrate it, to offer our praises, appreciation, worship, adoration, love to him. And that is the Lord's table. So we do that every Lord's Day to celebrate the death of our Lord Jesus. And thank God he not only has died for us, he's risen for us, he's ascended for us, and he is coming back to receive us. And that is the Lord's table. So I think we don't need to labor over this, because we all know this. But strangely, you find there is the second feast, which is called the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. And in a sense, it is a continuation of the Feast of Passover. But more than that, you'll find that it is the Feast of the Unleavened Bread and the Passover actually are one feast. Because you'll find in Luke chapter 22, verse 1. Now, the Bible says, now the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which is the Passover, drew nigh. So you find that even though these are two different feasts, the feast of Passover is on the 14th of Nisan, that is the first month, religious month of the Jewish year. It is on the 14th day we have the Passover. And the feast of the unleavened bread, even though it begins as it were on the 15th, and yet when you even read Exodus, you find that it is in the evening of the 14th day that they had to eat unleavened bread with the meat of the lamb. So actually you find it already began on Passover. So that's why in Luke you find the Feast of the Unleavened Bread, which is the Passover. It is one feast. Passover shows us the work of our Lord Jesus for us. And the Feast of the Unleavened Bread is our response to it. So, brothers and sisters, in a sense, I feel that we are familiar with Passover, but somehow we do not pay much attention to the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. To the Jewish people, even today, this Feast of the Unleavened Bread is very, very important. Because on that day, or before that, you find they will clear up their houses from everything that is leavened. Usually you find the father, he will go through a kind of ritual. And it usually is the youngest son that will be helping him. You know, the youngest son, he will purposely scatter a few crumbs at the corner of the house so that the father can wipe them up ceremoniously. And when the father is gathering these crumbs, he will pray and said, "We bless you, Lord God, the King of the universe, who has sanctified us with thy commandments and has commanded us to remove all the leaven in our houses." And that's the way they do to prepare for the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Now, as a matter of fact, the mother of the house, even before the Feast of the Passover, maybe for days and for weeks, she has been doing what they call spring cleaning. She has been trying to wash all the pans and pots and to be sure there is no trace of leaven in the house before the metals, the unleavened bread, can be brought in into the house. So to the children of Israel, even today, they still keep very rigidly on the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. Why? Because if during these 7 days, anyone should eat anything that is of leaven, he will be cast out of the commonwealth of Israel. So you find it is a very serious thing to the Jewish people. Now to us today, we know that we are not in the shadow anymore. We are in the reality. And what is the reality of the Feast of the Unleavened Bread? Christ is our Passover. He is a Paschal Lamb. And thank God we have received Him as our Savior and as our Lord. Now, immediately after that, or in connection with that, when we are feeding upon the Lamb, we should eat unleavened bread. In other words, this is our response to what He has done for us. Our Lord has delivered us out of everything that is of the old. He has brought us into everything that is new. You remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 8, 17 and 18. He that is in Christ Jesus, those who are in Christ Jesus, there is a new creation. All things have passed away. Everything that is of the old has passed away. Everything is now new. Everything is of God. So, brothers and sisters, as we believe in the Lord Jesus, receive the Lord Jesus, you know that He has brought us out of all that is past, all that is that belongs to the old, and He has brought us into the new, into everything that is of Himself. So that's the reason why the Bible said, according as in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, according as ye are unleavened. When we trusted in the Lord, we are being unleavened. Everything that speaks of leaven, He has delivered us out of it. We have been unleavened. Or put it in another way, we have been sanctified. Brothers and sisters, do you know that we are the sanctified ones? When you read 1 Corinthians, when the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthian believers, said, ye are sanctified, ye are saints. Now you may think that the Corinthian believers do not behave like saints, like being sanctified. But say, still, so far as the Lord's redemptive work is concerned, they are sanctified. Because God has sanctified them through Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus, we are a new creation. He has sanctified us. He has set us apart for Himself. If today somebody said, Saint Kenny, probably you would say, oh, I'm not worthy of that. You know, the Catholic Church tried to make people saints. And brothers and sisters, actually, you don't need the Pope to make you saints. You're already saint. God has already made you a saint. Now, by saint, it means you are sanctified. You are separated. You are holy unto God. And by the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus, He has sanctified us. He has unleavened us. He has brought out of the old, and He has brought in us into the new. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it tells us that how He has delivered us out of the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So, dear brothers and sisters, the church is a holy nation. We are a holy people. We are being unleavened. And it is only if we live accordingly, then you find we are in agreement, you are in one with what Passover has done for us. Now, what is leaven? leaven in the scripture. Now, leaven is the old dough. The old dough that is left over. And then it began to ferment. So in the leaven, you'll find there is a corrupting, inflating nature in the leaven. And spiritually speaking, that is what is meant. You know, our old nature, our Adamic nature is being leavened because there is a corrupting nature in us. Not only corrupting, but inflating. You know, it puffs up. That is natural to us. And this is the old leaven. And in the Bible, you'll find the leaven always speaks of something evil. For instance, in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the leaven refers to that sin that one of the Corinthian believers committed. And it is a grievous sin. It is sin that even the world did not see very often. And this is a leaven. In other words, it speaks of wicked works. Something that is evil in our behavior. Something that is corrupted, inflated. That is leaven. And also you find in Matthew chapter 16, you find our Lord Jesus, once when he was traveling with his disciples, and they entered into the boat, and the Lord said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees." And now the disciples, they forgot to bring the bread. So they said maybe the Lord was thinking of the bread. You know, their thinking is always physical. Our Lord's thinking is always spiritual. So the Lord said, "Do you remember how many baskets left over after feeding 5,000? How many baskets left over after feeding 4,000? The Lord is not referring to the material, the physical things. He's referring to the spiritual meaning of it. The leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of the Sadducees. Now, what is the leaven of the Pharisees, the doctrine of the Pharisees? It's an evil doctrine because they emphasize on the letters and they violate the spirit of it. It is hypocrisy. It is just something outward, and they neglect something of the inward reality. That is leaven. And the Sadducees, they are the liberals among the Jews. In other words, they look at the Old Testament just for moral, ethical teachings. They do not believe in the spiritual aspect of it. They do not believe in the angels. They do not believe in resurrection. You know, in other words, they are the rationalists. Whatever their mind cannot reason out, they will reject. And they only accept those moral, ethical things. And this is the leaven of the Sadducees. So in other words, whether it is evil behavior, or whether it is evil teaching, doctrines, these are leaven because they are corrupting and they inflate our natural man. So these are the leavens. And here you'll find these leaven bread, they are in contradiction to the blood of the Paschal Lamb. So they cannot go together. When they eat the lamb, they have to eat it with unleavened bread. So, in celebrating Passover, they already purged their house of all leavens. And since then, they continue on for 7 days eating unleavened bread. Now, Passover is just one day. In other words, the work is done once and for all. You do not repeat it. But the Feast of the Unleavened Bread continue for 7 days. Now, seven in the scripture speaks of temporary perfection. That is perfection in our days. Because you find a week is 7 days, you know, it is a temporary perfection. So spiritually speaking, the 7 days speak of or the whole time when we are in this age. That is to say, after we believe the Lord as our Paschal Lamb, then all our life on this earth is a continuous feast of unleavened bread. That is to say, after we believe in the Lord Jesus, we live a life sanctified unto God. That is our life. So sanctification is not just a position. We have that position in Christ Jesus. We are unleavened. So far as God's work is concerned, we have been sanctified by our Lord Jesus. He has separated us from the world, and that we may be devoted to Him. We are a holy people. But brothers and sisters, sanctification is more than a position. It should be our daily experience. We have the position, but do we have that daily experience? Are we really live a sanctified life? You remember our Lord Jesus when He was on earth? How He sanctified Himself for our sake. That we may be sanctified. So, dear brothers and sisters, let us remember that today we are keeping the Feast of the Unleavened Bread. We are celebrating that feast throughout our life, celebrating what the Lord has done for us. And in celebrating that feast, you find there are two things we must do. Number one, we must purge our houses from all leaven. In other words, as long as we live today, every day, we need to put away anything that is leavened. Purge out the old leaven. It is true. Only the Holy Spirit can reveal to us whether there is leaven in our lives. I believe it is not the Lord's will that we should ourselves use our mind and try to go over our life and see if there is any leaven, anything evil, anything that is of the old Adamic origin. Whether there's anything of that kind in our lives. Because if we do that, we will be under condemnation. Self-introspection is not the way to holiness. We believe that it is the work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who dwells in us, the anointing that is within us, He is going to teach us in all things, small things and great things. He is going to shine His light upon us to show us where there is darkness. He is going to speak in a still small voice to us, to show us if there's anything wicked in us, anything that is of the old Adamic origin, anything that belongs to the world, anything that is sinful, anything that is of the flesh, anything that is not of God, anything that is the old. The Holy Spirit within us, He is so faithful in teaching us day and night, in big things, in small things, in order that we may yield ourselves to Him, cooperate with Him, and cleanse by the blood of the Lamb, so we will be clean before God. Brothers and sisters, this is the work of the Holy Spirit, but it demands our cooperation. So here find the purge works. So far as the word the children of Israel is concerned, they are going to do the work. They have to be very careful to see that there's no leaven in the house, because it is so serious. Any leaven in the house, any eating of the leavened bread during those 7 days, they will be cast out of the assembly of Israel. In other words, they were cut off from God and man. And it is so serious to them. But brothers and sisters, are we also serious about this matter? Sometimes I feel that we are very careless. Thank God He has saved us. But then, after we are saved, we feel that we can continue on to eat leavened bread. We think that it is all right. After all, we are saved. We do not realize how serious this is. The Holy Spirit, no doubt, He is so faithful. He must have reminded us. He must have spoken to us. But oftentimes we neglect Him. We did not listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit. And we do not obey. Brothers and sisters, how much dealing do you have after you are saved? How much apologizing you have made after you are saved? Is it that your life is so perfect that you don't need to repent? You don't need to apologize to anyone? You don't need to do any restitution of any kind? Or is it that we allow the old leaven to remain in our house? And if this is the case, then you find it will affect our fellowship. Not only with God, but with one another. Just like the children of Israel. But to us it is a spiritual reality. So I feel it is a very, very important thing. Brothers and sisters, living a Christian life is a serious matter. God has sanctified us, and we should keep ourselves sanctified. So purge out all the old leaven. Whenever the Holy Spirit reminds us of something that is of the old leaven, it is time for us to purge it. And this is not only true individually. Every house, this is true with the whole nation of Israel. That whole nation of Israel, there will be no leaven during these 7 days. and so that their fellowship with God and with another will not be affected. So, brothers and sisters, you know the reason why. Today we find sometimes our fellowship is not that full and living and sweet and free. It is because there's leaven somewhere. If we purge out all the leaven by the grace of God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, power of the blood of our Lord Jesus, then you'll find our fellowship with God will be uninterrupted and our fellowship with one another will be full and free. So this is one thing. In our daily life, we need to be careful. Allow the Holy Spirit to remind us, and we should be obedient and cooperate with the Holy Spirit to clear up everything that is of the old leaven of malice and wickedness. But there is the other side. To keep the feast of the unleavened bread, not only there is a negative side of purging the old leaven, but there is the positive side of eating the unleavened bread. During those 7 days, what are we going to feed upon? What will give us the strength to live before God? We feed on the unleavened bread. Now, you know the unleavened bread is a type of Christ. The life of our Lord Jesus on earth is the unleavened bread. The Word incarnated. The Word became flesh and dwelt among men. When Christ was among men on the earth, He was the unleavened bread, the bread of life. There is no leaven in Him. You know, He took upon Himself the likeness of a sinful flesh. Ours is sinful flesh, but our Lord's flesh is the likeness of sinful flesh. In other words, there is no sin in it. It is like the brazen serpent, not the fiery serpent that is poisonous, that will bring death, but it is a brazen serpent, look like a serpent, but there is no poison there. So a look at the brazen serpent, you will be healed. Brothers and sisters, our Lord Jesus is the unleavened bread. There is no corrupting, inflating character in Him. He came to this world, and yet He did not do His own will. Not my will, but the Father's will. You find throughout His life, there is no corruption there. There is no inflation there, no puff-up of Himself. How He humbled Himself, being obedient to the Father, even unto death, and the death of the cross. This is the unleavened bread. Brothers and sisters, and He is our food. So in our daily life, brothers and sisters, in order that we may keep the feast of unleavened bread, we should daily feed upon Christ. Now, how do we feed upon Him? You know, when our Lord Jesus in John chapter 6 said, I'm the bread of life. He that eats me have life. And people don't understand that. How can we eat Him? Of course, what our Lord means is not the physical thing. It is the spiritual application. Now, how do we feed upon the Lord? We feed upon the Lord by daily feeding on His word. Because the written word gives us the living Christ. The Lord Jesus said, you search the scripture. You think there's eternal life in it. But you do not come to me. Because the scripture speaks of me. And it is in Him there is life. So, brothers and sisters, when we read the word of God, it is not like the Pharisees, not like the scribes. They only read the letter of the word. But they don't know that when you really feed upon the word of God in a spiritual way, that is, in our spirit, you read, you feed upon the word of God, you are fed by the living Christ. You see Christ there. And as you meditate on the word of God, you meditate upon Christ. And by reading the word, meditate upon the word, and in your spirit, you see Christ, and you feed upon Him, you are nourished by Him, and gradually you find that you are being changed. It is like in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. If we look upon Him with unveiled face, we shall be changed from glory to glory according to His image by the Spirit. So, brothers and sisters, this is something that we need to do daily. This is the way to keep the feast of the unleavened bread. We should not eat any leavened bread, but we are not to starve. We need to feed upon the unleavened bread. Feed daily upon the Lord. Through reading the word, through meditating the word, through prayer, through drawing nigh to Him, through looking off unto Jesus. In our spirit, we open ourselves to Him and have communion with Him. And when we are doing that, you find that we are feeding upon Christ, that His character began to be formed in us. And that is the way that we may live a sanctified life. So, dear brothers and sisters, these are the two things that in our daily life we should pay attention to. On the one hand, purge the old leaven. On the other hand, feed upon the unleavened bread. To the children of Israel, this matter is very serious. But because if they eat, anyone who eat any leavened thing during those 7 days, they shall be cast out of the assembly of Israel. That is to say, they will lose all their privileges. And brothers and sisters, spiritually, this is true with us today. Because if we do not purge the old leaven, allow the old leaven to remain and eat it, live on it. If we do not feed on the unleavened bread and get strength, we are not able to live a holy living. And it will affect our fellowship with God. It will affect our fellowship with one another. So walk in the light as He is in the light, and the blood of Jesus will cleanse us from all our unrighteousness. So may the Lord help us. Dear Lord, how we praise and thank Thee for Thy perfect work. We thank Thee that Thou hast not only save us, but thou hast sanctified us by thy finished work. And Lord, we do pray that by thy grace, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that we too may keep the feast of unleavened bread according to thy word. Lord, do show us how to purge out all leaven, and show us how to eat the unleavened bread, that we may in our everyday life be sanctified, that our fellowship with thee and one with another will be uninhibited. Lord, we thank thee, for thy grace is sufficient for us. We ask in thy precious name. Amen.